so much for your prayers while we were over there for my team and me, and also thank you so much for your financial support. We had a great trip. It was very profitable, and I believe a lot of people were blessed through our trip. The first week, we were working with a camp for children in Romania, ages 6 to 16, and the first week we had 174 kids, and the second week we had about 227 kids. So there was a great turnout, and I just wanted to show you, I have some pictures here. That was our pavilion. That's where we had our services and our Bible lessons and our song services during the day. That's where we lived, that's where we ate, that's where we slept, that's where we had our staff devotions in the morning. That's a picture of the back of the house. That's our leader, our leader's coach, and Mrs. Getch. They teach at this at Pensacola Christian College. That's one of us on the plane trip. That's where we ate. That's where all of the kids and all the campers, that's where we all ate together. It was really crowded. We ate some really weird foods over there. That's part of my group. At the beginning of the week, we split up into prayer groups. There was an American team member and then a Romanian translator for each group. I had teenagers both weeks. And I had really good leaders both weeks also. That's rice and milk. And we ate a bunch of weird stuff over there. Sometimes I didn't know what we were eating. And you can see all the kids. We had a great kitchen crew. They got up really early in the morning and they worked all day, late into the night. There's some of the prayer groups. During the prayer group, we got together. Sometimes we would give a devotion. We would pray together. We would do some songs and some crafts together. At the beginning of the week, we introduced ourselves. We said some lines in Romanian. We sang some songs for them. And we did Bible lessons every day. And we taught them English songs, and they really, really enjoyed that. They liked learning English words. We also played games during the day. They did really well with getting involved. They really, a lot of people wanted to know if how they took to us, if they liked the Americans or if they didn't like us. But they really loved us. They loved getting to know us and spending time with us. One man told my leader, Mrs. Getch, that he was an adult, but he told us that y'all will never understand what it means to these kids that y'all would take your time and leave America and come to Romania to spend time with these kids at camp. Here they are playing some more games. During the afternoons, after lunch, half our team, we would wash dishes just to give the kitchen crew a break. And the girls, during the free time, they loved playing crafts. That was one of their favorite things to do, favorite times of the day. We would also color and play card games with them. There's the girls' cabins. And you can see the little trough on the side. That's where they brush their teeth and wash their hands and wash their hair and do whatever. There's some of the girls in my group. The two girls in this picture, they were they're both Romanian, but they speak English very well, and they were great translators for both weeks that we were there. We had an evening service every night, and after the Thursday night evening, Coach Getch, he gave an invitation. And both weeks, approximately 100 kids went forward. Sometimes you can kind of tell that some of the kids, they go forward just because some of their other friends are doing it, so some of them weren't sincere, but a lot of them, you could really tell that they were really under conviction. You could really tell that they had accepted Christ that night. And one of the girls, the first week, she told a lady, and then she told our counselor, or our group leader, who told us, one of the teenage girls there, she said that she saw a joy in the Americans that she didn't have and that she wanted to have. And at the end of that week, she came to know Christ. At night, there was a song service for all the kids. They could get up and sing a special, or sometimes our group would get up and sing or give a testimony. In the camp, they can't wash all the clothes for all the kids because they don't have the washers and dryers for that, or not the clothes, but the sheets and blankets. So at the end of the week, we would take all the blankets and we would shake them out and put them back on their beds, which is kind of gross. But during the weekend, we had the opportunity to go out and do some sightseeing and stuff. This was in a restaurant that we went to, and they sang and danced for us, and at one point they made us dance with them. This is just part of the life there in the city. This is some of the ladies that were selling stuff from their gardens, flowers. This is a normal site in Romania. A lot of you know that my family and I actually lived in Romania for a while, so it was really nice to get to go back. There we're eating at a pastry place that I used to eat at when I was a kid, and I introduced my team to it, and it was a lot of fun. Right here, on Sunday afternoon, we were going to a gypsy village to preach there and teach them Bible lessons and give out some stuff. We had goodie bags for them with like toothpaste and toothbrushes and stuff like that. It was about a two-hour drive, and about half an hour away, our tire blew, and that was a spare tire. So missionary Brent George and our team leader, Coach Getch, they left, and they went to go find a tire. And so we sat on the side of the road for 2.5 hours in the heat, and it was an experience. But it was a really big blessing, because for the first hour, the guy on our team, he brought a guitar, and we just sang, and we got to practice some songs to sing for the next week for the campers. And it was just a blessing to be a part of that group who wanted to sing and praise the Lord while we were on the side of the road for 2.5 hours. This is in the gypsy villages. They really liked having us there. We sang with them and gave them candy, and they really liked that. This is a view from our camp. We were in the mountains, and it was very, very beautiful. That's our whole team. There was the two leaders. There was 9 girls and 1 guy. And the 1 guy, he didn't have any sisters, so it was quite an experience for him. The theme for the camp was Lagat Inima de Cher, which means bind your heart towards heaven. And so at the end of week 2, we took this picture. And that's all my pictures. Thank you again so much for your prayers and for your support. It really means a lot to me. It also means a lot to my team and to the people of the camp and to the kids. You might not see the results of what happened here this summer, this side of heaven, but I know that God does. And the people who are involved in that camp, they really do too. And I'm thinking and praying about going back next summer. If it's God's will, I would really like to. So if you just pray with me about that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Tell us about it there. I'll turn this over to you.
Okay. All right. Well, I had the opportunity to work at Camp Hosanna. It's in Hiawassee, Georgia, up in the mountains. And it is a free camp for kids. They don't have to pay anything to go there, and that is a true blessing. This is the founder, Brother Stan Wood. He and his wife felt that the Lord was calling them to build a camp where kids, you know, wouldn't have to pay to hear the gospel and to have fun. And so they went on complete faith and just started building this camp, and it has really grown a lot so far. This is Brother Abbott. He was our director, and he's kind of like a second dad, but he was really funny and great and a great encouragement to us. These are some of the cabins, and they're just made out of plywood. There's no air conditioning or anything fancy like that. There's about 6 bunk beds and 2 counselor beds. So on a normal week, we would have around 12 campers in our cabin, sometimes up to 15. And so it was crazy, especially on junior weeks when you have 15 little juniors running around. And 1 week I was by myself and didn't have a co-counselor, so that was fun. But they were really sweet, and I enjoyed it. In the back, you can see the long building. That is a building in progress for our new dining hall and staff housing, but it'll be several years before they can finish that and get all the money. Also on the right is a house that's where our speakers stay for the week. And there's that house again. This is a bathhouse, and the mural was drawn by a church about 2 weeks before we left. They just came in and told us that they wanted to paint a mural on our bathhouse, and so that was a blessing. This is the pavilion. It's where we have all of our meals, a lot of our games, and all of our preaching. And so that's pretty much the life of the camp is over there. That field is where we also play the majority of our games. The theme this year was the flavor of the ages, and the theme verse was Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And so they all got T-shirts. And on Monday morning, they would arrive around 9 o'clock, And whenever there was a bus, we would all run out there and greet them. And we would take them all to their cabins in the trailer with their luggage. During chapel, we would have morning chapel, kind of like at the Wilds. And we would sing songs and have a service and sometimes games. Also, they would have field games. While the girls were at creek time, the boys would be playing games, and we would have like floor hockey and kickball, big ball soccer. And then we'd have team competitions, and this game was called the human conveyor belt, and they would lay down, and then someone would lay on their backs, and they would just roll continuously until the person got all the way across the line. And that was always a lot of fun, especially with the juniors. They messed up a lot, but we wanted to pull our hair out. But it was fun. This game was called Chicken Noodle. They would ride on each other's backs and whack each other with pool noodles. We had a lot of bloody noses and nurse visits with that one, but it was fun. Just take people out in the best way possible. We also had a creek, which is a really good blessing. It was very cold, kind of like the waterfalls at the Wilds, if you've been to the Wilds. They had tubing. All of the tubes were donated by churches, and so we don't have a lot right now, but they have to learn how to share. We also had a rope swing. That was a lot of fun. At nighttime, we would have services around 7 o'clock, and each week there would be a new speaker that came in, and I really enjoyed hearing those. Monday nights we would have movie night with juniors. We would watch a movie called The Secret Life of Jonathan Sperry. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it, but it's just about a man that made a really big impact in his neighborhood. And for the teens, we would watch Left Behind. And of course, some of the doctrinal issues, we would have to tell them what was wrong about it, but that was a blessing. And then on Tuesday nights, Brother Stan would set off fireworks for all the kids. And so they really enjoyed that. Wednesday night was skit night. all of the counselors would put on different skits for the kids. And this little girl is scared out of her mind because there is what we called the soda chugging contest, but it was for all of the new campers, well, some of the new campers. And they would take them one by one and tell them that they're going to run over to the cooler and grab a drink and chug it, but it was really a snake. And, well, okay, it was a fake snake, but it looked pretty real. So we would capture those lovely moments. They also had a lot of messy skits. Those are fun. On Thursday is our most fun day. We would have the obstacle course in the morning. And this little girl, her name is Lucy. She's 14, but she would come to all the junior weeks. And she had some sort of disorder, but she is the sweetest little girl. And it was just a joy to work with her. And her parents ended up donating $1,000 to the camp just because she enjoyed it so much. Also, first of all, with the obstacle course, it was very applicable to life. We go through hard times, but even though it gets really tough, we just have to rely on God and never give up. And so we just encourage them, even though they would be scared to go over the tire wall or over a balance beam, we just encourage them to never give up, because when you get to hard places in life, you don't just want to give up. You want to keep pushing and keep going. This is our mud pit. It gets bigger and bigger every year. It was so much fun. I enjoyed it. they're about to play Steal the Bacon, and they had these tubes in the middle and the teams on both sides, and they would go for that. It was a lot of fun. Some campers, it's so gross, it's mud, but you just push them in there. It's fun. But and then whenever we had staff rounds, that was always fun. Then we would play tug of war, long ways, and that was a lot of fun as well. And then we had belly flop contests, and yes, that's me. It was really fun, and the kids really enjoyed it. And then we'd wash off in the creek, and I still have mud in my ears, but I'm working on that. Then Thursday night, we would have the fire pit testimony service, and that was a true blessing because you would just hear kids stand up, and you would hear about some of the stuff that they go through, and it's really humbling to hear about the families that some of these kids come from. And it's just a big blessing to be a part of a Christian family and church. Sorry, sitting on crying. But they would just stand up and say the decisions that they made and how big of this a blessing this camp was. And it was just great to hear. And then on Fridays, we would take a camp picture with all of us. We usually had around 100 kids. Sometimes it was less than that. This was the smallest week, but these are some of my campers. The week off, we had a week off the week of 4th of July, and the church, Mount Zion Baptist Church that we went to, they were gracious enough to pay for all of us to go to Dollywood for 2 days. And so we had a blast there. We also got to go whitewater rafting, and we went hiking to different waterfalls. So that was fun. We also got to go see fireworks on 4th of July. It is a very beautiful place, the mountains, and just seeing God's handiwork everywhere. This is my roommate, Samantha. She's the founder's daughter, and quick blessing about her, she actually got saved this year at camp. She had been living her whole life, you know, going through the motions, and everyone thought she was saved, but then she realized that she hadn't actually made that decision, and it was a big step for her to swallow her pride and tell everyone, you know, that I'm not saved, but I'm getting that right, and so that was awesome. My roommate, Amanda, also went. She's from PCC. She's my roommate there, and she came after she went on her missions trip to Ghana, Africa. And this is our whole staff group. I made a lot of friends and a lot of memories, and I know that I can always go to any of them whenever I'm going through something. And thank you all for your prayers and your support. It really meant a lot to me, and I didn't know how it was going to be going there and not knowing anyone, especially when we got there and there wasn't much, but the Lord really provided. And when I was able to share the gospel with my first camper, and she got saved, and when she was praying, I knew that Camp Hosanna was where I was supposed to be, because she just started bawling and pouring out her heart and crying out to God, and I just started bawling as well, because I just knew that even though this camp didn't have much, it really had a lot to offer spiritually. And we had about 100 salvation decisions this summer, and many more other decisions. And so it was a very big blessing, and I hope to go back next year. So thank you all for your prayers, and just like Hannah said, just pray with me, please, that I'll be able to go back if it's God's will. Thank you.
Thank you. I wasn't going to say anything, but after the young lady's testimony, I just want to say this is for them.
Think about how many people have been exposed to the truth of God's Word and yet are not saved yet. And I think of that one counselor Lisa was talking about, how that you can have it all around you, you can be exposed to it, you can know the truth, and yet you can fool a lot of people just by saying, yes, I'm saved, and behaving yourself, but deep down in your heart, you may know, or at least question whether or not it's genuine. And that's a sad situation to be in, a scary one, really. So I encourage you to make sure that you know that you have trusted Christ. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I'll get there in a moment. We're just a few weeks away, 4 weeks away from our youth ministry kickoff. Our directors and our leaders are in advanced planning stage, I hope, in their clubs. And as they're getting ready for that, Won't be long till our young people are going to be really excited about getting started back. Recently, I shared my burden to see that our church always have a strong youth ministry. And with that, my heart goes out. There are so many churches in America today. I'm talking about churches that have been considered testimony-wise, good churches. And yet they're dying. They have old people in their church, not many youth. And I'm afraid to say that sometimes the reason is a improper view of youth and the importance of having them. For instance, there are some older Christians, maybe good Christians, but may have thought in their mind, I hope not said, but that the financial cost is too great in the youth ministry there, and the youth contribute nothing financially to the church. The wear and the tear on our van and equipment in the buildings is too much, or maybe they've said that they're too loud, too interruptive, and they make me nervous. Well, if that's where you sit, you're not going to be very motivated to reach out and try to minister to youth. But the proper view, I believe, that we need to have, the proper mentality there, perspective, is a proper understanding of the importance of youth ministry. And I want us to preach a short message today on the importance of youth ministry and why we do what we do. And I'll share that with you as we get started momentarily. Father, right now we pause and we acknowledge that apart from you, we can do nothing. And I ask right now that you'd help me to be able to share what you've laid upon my heart. Lord, that our church would have a glimpse and grasp a perspective, Lord, of the importance of ministering to youth. And as that we've even heard testified from our young ladies this morning, there are so many reasons why youth ministry is important. Lord, and help us never to lose sight, help us to not lose vision of what you can do through our church for youth. Thank you now, and help us to listen carefully. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to share the importance here first. I shared, as I said recently, it was on the Sunday night that our Wiles young people came back from camp and had testimonies. And at the end, I got up and made a statement and actually asked a question. I'll ask you the same question. You answer this question. How many of you were saved? You trusted Christ as your Savior. You were saved as a teenager or younger? Could I see your hands? Now, that's the majority of everybody in here. That will be the case all over America today, all over the world, really, because God so often draws young people unto himself, and the older a person gets, the more set in their ways and distance and so forth. And God says that we are to come unto him like a little child and have faith to believe and trust him as our Savior. And it's so important there, from that standpoint, to reach young people before it is too late, or before at least the percentages of their salvation go up. Also an observation, and something that should be obvious to us, that our youth today are our church leaders tomorrow. Please understand that. If we don't reach the youth, if we don't train them, then who will? And so we have to be active in our reach out to the young people that God has given us. Therefore, we should not just try to get them saved. If they're going to be our leaders tomorrow, we need to train them. We need to teach them in the knowledge of God's truth. We use activities. We use personal fellowship with God, emphasis there, group fellowship with others. And I'll explain why we do this in just a minute. It is biblical. But this understanding is where our church youth ministry purpose comes from. Now, many of you probably have never read what our church ministry youth ministry purpose is. But we have one, and we have circulated. Matter of fact, our VBS parents that were here got a piece of paper that had that information on it. But it says this: our youth ministry purpose is to help our youth come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and then provide spiritual enrichment, physical activity, social interaction, and Christian service opportunity that aids in their overall spiritual development. That is what we are about. That's what we want to accomplish, our purpose for having a youth ministry. And God indicates as well an importance for youth. Here in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, says, "And they brought young children to him, and that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them," the parents that brought them there. "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, Suffer," which is the word permit there, "permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And so God emphasizes, the Lord emphasizes, the importance of ministering to children, the priority that he had with it as well. And if you'll flip over to Matthew chapter 18, we see God's will concerning children. In Matthew chapter 18, in the first few verses there, it says, "In the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on down, if you'll skip down to verse 10 there, "Take heed," he says, "that ye despise not one of these little ones." Now the word despise there means to think little of or nothing of. In other words, to have a deflated idea of what the importance of children and ministering to them is all about. "For I say unto you," Jesus said, "that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven." Now I don't know what that means, but it seems like to me it's saying that every child has their own angel. And that angel, whether it stays with it for the rest of its life — I'm still a child, right? Somebody's child. I have my own angel, I hope. But whether or not, whether if it's just children or not, I don't know. But I do know that God has given assigned them one. In verse 11 there it says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth to the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more for that one, for that sheep, than the 99 which did not go astray. Even so," it says, "it is not the will of the Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And so God is saying there the importance of ministering to youth, and his will is not one of them would ever perish, that we would reach every one of them with the salvation and the edification that is necessary to prepare them for what God is going to use them next. And we should be about that. But notice the command that's given in Matthew 28. Over in Matthew 28, you know the Great Commission that is given to us. It tells us in verse 19, "Go you therefore and teach all nations." The word "teach" there means to make disciples of. In other words, to share the gospel so that they can trust the Lord Jesus Christ to become a follower of him. So we are to get people saved. Then we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we are to teach them to observe the things whatsoever I commanded you. God says, "I'm with you there." And so in doing that then, we are to go into the world to try to witness to people, to get them saved, baptized, and to teach them the truth of God's Word of how they should follow. Do you know that in mission work, the majority of missionaries, when they go on a field, they first target young people. They begin a ministry there, they have the greatest fruit of results there, and it becomes an inroad into the families. We've seen that take place here in our church, how that we have reached some young people, and then their parents started to come, and then from there we started to reach the parents. And I pray that we'll see it some more. We need to have that type of mentality, the Great Commission there, as we reach out into children as well. There's a great pattern that is given to us over in Deuteronomy 31, and I'll flip over there. You're welcome to flip with me. Deuteronomy 31 in verse 11, it says, and this is Moses has been given this instruction, "When all Israel is come together to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, Thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Now get this. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that is the visitors that are there, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the works of this law. In verse 13 there, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. That is a responsibility that we see as a command that is given to his, for us to follow there. We are to do likewise. We are to gather together. I think it is good that we have children in our service. I don't think we always have to have a children's church for the young ones either. They need to learn how to sit and how to listen. If they don't ever learn that, then we're missing that opportunity to teach. So there's the Great Commission, there's the great pattern that is there. And then in Proverbs 22:6, there's a great command. You know this one, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it there. The word train there is the word that means to dedicate, to set apart there, to focus in a direction. What is the direction that we are to seek and that you as parents ought to seek to train and direct your children? It is in the way he should go. What way is that? Well, the book of Proverbs only gives one way. It's God's way. It's the way of wisdom. Some have tried to put in psychology into this verse and to say that we're to train them in the way of their bent, the way of their learning, etc. Nowhere in my Bible can you find that in the book of Proverbs ever used that way in that particular word. It is the direction in which they should go is God's direction of wisdom that he has given us there. We are to train them up in that direction. And since God stresses that we're to do it early, train up a child, and other times when he uses the word betimes there, early, we are to do it while they are young and not neglect that. I think there's a lot of parental neglecting out here that is being done in our world today because they do not see to it that their children are taught the truth. And we as Christian parents certainly have that obligation and responsibility there to our young people. It's been said that early training secures lifelong habits. And I believe that to be the truth. Dr. John MacArthur made this explanation here involving Proverbs 22:6. He put it this way, teaching God's word and enforcing it with loving discipline consistently throughout the child's upbringing. That's pretty much, in a nutshell, what it's talking about doing there. The church does not replace parents. Parents, do you understand that? It is your responsibility to train up your child, to teach them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is your responsibility to see that they get an education as well as a Bible education. And as a church, we come alongside to help you in that endeavor, to offer resources and to provide opportunities to do so. You don't just turn them loose to us and say, hey, it's done, whatever y'all do. There's responsibility still on you. So as a youth ministry importance, we certainly want to do our part in coming alongside to help. But then there are some examples that I want you to see. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll flip there please, Paul the apostle is directing this particular letter to a young man named Timothy. And Timothy was just out of his teen years, most likely. And he is training him to be a pastor, actually to be a pastor to pastors. And in part of that, he says there in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, he has learned a lot as Paul the apostle has taught him, but he had learned a lot other from his parent, his mother, and his grandmother. Notice that verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We know that it's his mom and his grandmother because in chapter 1, verse 5, it says so. The unfeigned, that is the genuine faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy mother Eunice, and in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. What is the point there? Timothy had been trained from a child to know the Holy Scriptures, and he had been nurtured that way, and the Apostle Paul had been teaching as well, even in his teen years there, to now he was a young man, very qualified, very much potential to come on and to be a good pastor and a pastor of the pastors as the Apostle Paul had been so diligent. Parents, again, can I say this to you? Don't send your children to church. Bring them. You see the difference. It is not, you ought to go and get some of that, you need it, because they're going to wake up one day and say, well, Mom and Dad, if you don't need it, I don't either. If it's not important for you to grow and to study God's Word, why should I do it? I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. Every young person that's in here is old enough to reason that in their own mind. The parents, it's our responsibility to be making sure that we are consistent in our attendance, that we are studying God's Word. If we expect our young people to do it, then we had better be actively doing it ourselves there. Don't send them. Bring them. Don't delegate all the teaching, spiritual teaching of your children to others. Teach them what you are learning spiritually. Teach them what you are learning. You better be learning. Make sure that they start learning early. And then we have Jesus as an example. You know, there's not a lot of information in the Gospels concerning Jesus as he grew up. But there's one verse in particular, Luke 2:52, that says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And there's a whole lot to be gleaned from that process right there in those years. There are four areas mentioned there: wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with men. Wisdom has to do with mentally. Stature, physically. Favor with God is spiritually, and favor with men is socially. And in those four areas is where we get our philosophy, our purpose of youth ministry. In mentally teaching them the truth of God's Word, in physically having outlets for wholesome activities, spiritually in application of that truth and the practice of it, and socially in the proper interaction with others. A youth ministry ought to provide and ought to seek to provide that atmosphere for all of our youth. And as parents, we need to make sure that we are encouraging them to take part of every aspect of it. Again, our youth ministry purpose there comes into play to help our youth come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and then provide spiritual enrichment, physical activity, social interaction, and Christian service opportunity that aids in their overall spiritual development. That's what we want to do. That is why we think it's important. Jesus is the example. God's Word is the commands there. And even in our own understanding, we can see the importance of ministering to youth when they're young. Now, every one of us have responsibilities when it comes to the youth ministry. Not just the pastor, not just the directors and leaders, etc. there, but every one of us. We, as directors, some, as teachers, others, as leaders, as helpers, as encouragers, as examples. I've told you how many times of a man in my church as I was a teenager. He wasn't a deacon. He wasn't a youth leader. He was just a parent of another teen. But his testimony impacted my life. People, young people are watching you, adults. Be good examples there and be prayer warriors for our youth. All of us can be involved in some of those areas, if not at least one, to be helpers. Leaders need to have a prepared mind. If you want to stick around, you'll see how many we're going to have meeting right over here in just a few moments. Leaders, you need to be prepared to know what you are supposed to do. You've got to do that in advance. You need a prepared heart that is clean as a clean vessel ready to be used and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You need a prepared life, not perfect, but pressing toward that mark to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents, you need to be positive. You know that one of the greatest defeated statements you can ever make is grumbling about something that's going on in the youth ministry? You can turn a child's attitude away from the Lord by just having a negative attitude yourself. Please get behind those that are working so hard and be positive amongst your family. Be consistent in your attendance, parents, and be an example when it comes to learning. And then youth, these years as a youth, right on up through your teen years, you will never repeat again. They will be gone. How many young people that I have heard make the statement, I wish when I had been a young person that I would have been more active and taken more steps to do things when I was a teen for the Lord than what I did. And now I missed out. Those opportunities are gone and can't be gotten back. Don't waste the short years that you've got as a young person on temporary things that will not make a hill of beans of difference 10 years from now. Be careful. Every head bowed, please. Every one of us are seen in that application. Every one of us have responsibilities when it comes to our youth ministry. I pray that you have the same vision as I do as a pastor for the future of our youth. I'm excited about what I see with them. And I want you to join me in praying that we can minister properly, not just going through the motions, but affecting lives for eternity. Father, help us, I pray, to be parents, to be leaders, directors, to be church members, to have the heart to lift these up before the Lord, and these that are working, that we could see the great work that you will do. For you have promised that your word will not return to you void, but will accomplish that which you have intended. Help us, Father, to use it properly. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 305 is the hymn that we're going to close with here as an invitation. If God has spoken to your heart in some area that you need to speak to him about, or if you need to speak to me about a decision, you come on this first verse as we stand. Otherwise, if you would commit and be serious about praying for and supporting